Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or simply hoping to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. Richard, today we're going to talk about the growth of brain cells in adults. There's a myth, and I'm starting out saying that it's a myth, that adults cannot grow new brain cells.
That's right. We were told
for a long
during
time.
During my training. Yes. I mean, so it's been within my lifetime, during my short lifetime, that you were born with 100 billion neurons.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's typically what we...
Somebody counted them.
100 billion neurons. And that over the course of a lifetime, they die off until they're reduced in number by old age, and then some type of inevitable dementia sets in.
Mm-hmm.
And conventional wisdom,
right,
30 or 40 years ago, that... or actually 30 years ago, that you were born with 100 billion and throughout your life you just lost them because of alcohol use and other problems that you might have, sports injuries, and you would lose brain cells and then inevitably you would become, you would develop some sort of dementia in old age. Okay.
Yeah.
And in the 90s, a neurologist, I've forgotten his name now, started to do a series of MRI studies.
Mm-hmm.
See, so much of this wasn't even possible until we had these technologies,
right.
A CT scan in 1968, an MRI about 10 years later. But it wasn't until the 90s that the neuroimaging capacity was adequate enough to study brains over time.
Right.
And there was a neurologist who began this series of studies where he studied the same people year after year
right.
after year. And it was he who discovered that, wow, there seem to be periods in life where we actually develop new neurons.
Right.
We thought they all only developed during pregnancy, during gestation. Then we learned in the 90s that they develop throughout life.
Right. And it's the unlike skin cells that
right.
regenerate constantly all over your body, mm-hmm. and you, I think the you have a new set
skin.
Of skin
right.
Every few years
every
or so.
Every couple of years, you actually replace all of your skin with new cells.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You break a bone.
Right.
And those bone cells will grow back. They'll regenerate.
Right. And even the liver,
right.
you could
nick.
You could
right.
cut off part of your liver.
Mm-hmm.
And it will grow back.
Like a gecko.
It's amazing.
Right.
Your brain doesn't work that way.
Yeah, most of the cells in your body regenerate.
Right.
Your nails grow, your hair grows, your skin grows. Most cells in our body, muscle cells, you know,
mm-hmm.
you can tear a muscle cell and
mm-hmm.
it'll regrow. The one organ that doesn't do that, as luck would have it,
right.
is the brain.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That said, there are regions of the brain that seems to develop new cells throughout your life.
Right.
Especially at certain portions, certain times of your
mm-hmm.
life. One of those regions is, luckily enough, the hippocampus,
right.
which is the area of our brain that's really important for memory.
Mm-hmm.
The researcher you were talking about, the neurologist, and now others have demonstrated that, yeah, we seem to develop more brain cells. We tend to grow more brain cells in some of these
mm-hmm.
regions of our brain throughout our life.
Right. And it may be as many as 700, I think, per day.
Mm-hmm.
We produce something like 700 new neurons a day. The two important findings in this area from the study of neurogenesis is that there are two things at work. One is that at age 2.5,
mm-hmm.
the brain has this huge explosion of new neurons. We've talked about
right.
that many times on the podcast, that you have this, they call it blossoming of new
mm-hmm.
neurons.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the neurons that the kids will use to learn to ride a bike
right.
and to read and all that. You can't do that before 2.5 because
mm-hmm.
you don't have the neurons. Now at 2.5, you have this explosion of new neurons and it equips the child to do many more things and many more sophisticated things. That process of blossoming lasts until about age 8.
Right.
The neurons that are not used for anything are pruned off, and by age 8, you're back to 100 billion. So you're born with 100 billion, you grow these new ones at 2.5, and at age 8, you go back to 100 billion. This happens again at puberty. At puberty, you grow all these new neurons. They're the ones you're going to use for high school and college. By age 24, 25, that process ends. So you have these two periods where the brain produces huge amounts of new neurons that you use for the next developmental tasks. But the fascinating thing about neurogenesis is what you talked about with this, sort of just happens. Like every day you're producing new neurons and you're producing them in the hippocampus. And that's important because the hippocampus is the structure that makes new memories. So good for all of us that the hippocampus is doing this.
However,
you can interfere with that process or you can enhance that. And that's the take-home message today. Is that we know that this is happening. I don't think there's not much you can do about blossoming and pruning at 2.5 in puberty except go ahead and use those neurons. But on a day in, day out basis, there are things you can do to enhance the neurogenesis in the hippocampus.
And one of the things that we always talk about is healthy lifestyle choices. You have to make sure that you're eating and sleeping and exercising and doing those lifestyle things that foster healthy cell growth, healthy cell development. And it's not exactly one of the myths that we're going to tackle this week. But, you know, the idea of exercising your brain is really important. You know, while, again, we'll address this myth on a different day, while listening to classical music and those kinds of things doesn't necessarily make you smarter or anything like that, we do know that using brain regions from the perspective of learning new things, you know, keeping your brain active with crossword puzzles and with various thinking activities, you do keep that keep those areas of your brain healthy. We've seen it many times where people will be, you know, Dr. Silver, for example. We've talked about him before. He was the psychiatrist that I initially trained with, and he was, you know, in his mid to late 80s when I first started working with him, and his early 90s when he finally really retired. And you could see a decline almost immediately in some of his memory systems as soon as he pulled away from that active, engaged learning. I mean, he was, and you saw him.
Well, when I met him in his 80s.
And he was sharp.
He was playing baseball.
He was playing baseball.
Not slow pitch softball. He was playing real baseball in his 80s.
Which was hard to believe.
I couldn't believe when I heard that.
But he was sharp. He was quick. Quick-witted, quick with information, and but as soon as he retired, you could start seeing that all of those systems start to slow, and it was because he wasn't as active as he was before.
That's interesting. You know, Martha Denkla, who's at Johns Hopkins, said that about kids with reading disabilities, that as soon as you stopped doing interventions, you would see a decline. As long as you were stimulating them, they kept up. But as soon as you stopped, as soon as they then left the tutorial settings situation, then there you would see this decline in their abilities. Interesting.
So just like a lot of the other interventions we talk about, whether it's, you know, writing for, you know, treating your depression, or it's exercising to, you know, stimulate, you know, those endorphins and to enhance mood, reading and problem solving and thinking, you know, are great daily exercises that you need to do to help continue to foster that healthy cell development and healthy, you know, neurotransmitter actions.
Yeah, because we tell parents, you know, once you have that blossoming at 2.5, it's really important to stimulate those kids and give them opportunities to use those neurons so that they keep them. Because if you don't stimulate their use, they're going to die off. Same with puberty. And it's scary to think that some kids who do like playing video games for excessive hours every day, and you're ignoring everything else, you're actually losing neurons by Wow, that's interesting stuff.
Yeah. So
keep working at it, right?
Yeah. So the take-home message, of course, is you have to keep exercising, keep thinking, keep problem solving, keep engaging in thinking activities,
right,
so that you can keep those brains growing.
Right. Because there's some one thing you want to do is you want to avoid stress,
okay.
Because we know that stress produces steroids that destroy the hippocampus. We learned with
very specifically the hippocampus,
right? And that's the irony here is that we grow new neurons in the hippocampus, but stress and depression damage the hippocampus, and we have plenty of studies that show an actual up to a 10% reduction in the volume of the hippocampus following stressful events,
right,
such as war. Returning soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
They come from these highly stressful environments where they're under stress every day.
Mm-hmm.
They come back and we find hippocampal, not damage, but atrophy. It starts to sort of shrink.
Right. There wasn't specific damage done to it from any type of injury or anything like that, but because of the stress that they're under, there's that atrophy, that shrinking of those regions.
And so you want to be very careful about stress and depression,
right.
You know, deal with those things early on. So you want to avoid that, but at the same time, you want to do things that stimulate the hippocampus, the crossword puzzles, other activities. And aerobic exercise is one of the best you can do. Even 2 days, there was a study reported last week, 2 days of moderately fast walking will pay dividends. You know, there's like a 20% improvement in memory functions just by walking 2 days a week. So whatever you can do to increase your aerobic activities, really your hippocampus is going to love you for it.
Right.
Another thing that I had forgotten about, because we talked about it on a podcast at least a year ago, if you do things in anomalous ways, for example, if you brush your teeth with your non-dominant hand, or you stir your coffee, it forces you to think about it more. You take any automatic task, and you do it with a non-dominant hand. It forces your brain to recruit and do become more active, and that will also stimulate hippocampal neurogenesis.
Right.
Yeah. So there's lots of ways to do that.
And you know, you never think about some of those automatic tasks until you're put in a situation where you have to.
Right.
I drove a right-sided car.
In England?
There was a Jeep for sale here in town.
The steering wheel on the
steering wheel on the right-hand side.
Is it used for the U.S. Postal Service?
I don't know. But that was disorienting.
But you were driving on the right side of the road.
Uh-huh.
But you were sitting on the right side of the car.
The orientation of everything changes.
Did it really?
Because now, you know, you usually keep yourself in line based upon the lines on the road on the left-hand side of the road. Well, now it shifts to where you're keeping yourself in line with the right side of the road because that's where you're sitting.
That's right.
And it's
so you're looking to your left instead of to your right.
And it was a stick shift. So
while
the pedals are in the same place, you're shifting with your left hand instead of your right hand.
That would be really good for your brain. It wouldn't be good for other drivers.
Not initially, anyways.
It'd be like dodging.
But it was...
Wow.
It was very...
I'd like to drive that just for...
It was very neurologically stimulating. It was like... I really liked it. Because it was... I mean, it was like... It was almost like learning to drive all over again. It was
the best video game you've ever played.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like, wow.
That's really interesting.
So, doing anything like that where you're challenging yourself. I remember a friend of ours, Wade, he's a psychiatrist, Wade Myers. There would be times when I would walk into his office and he would have his mouse on the left side. And so he was using his mouse with his left hand instead of his right hand. Right, and it was to exercise. He said that he liked to keep it that way just to
stimulate his brain. He knew this.
Yeah,
right.
Mm-hmm. He's a smart guy.
And so, avoid the bad things.
Yeah.
Right. But do the other good things. I'm going to start doing that left-handed thing because I'm bad with my left hand.
Yeah. Oh, me too.
I can't throw. I can't hit it.
But I noticed you pour coffee with your left hand.
Yes, I do.
I pour with my right hand, and you pour with your left hand. Mm-hmm. I thought that was interesting. I don't know why you do that. You're weird, man.
I don't know. I'll have to work on that. But there are things we can do, right? My mother's 94, and she is an avid reader and crossword puzzle fanatic. She just had to have surgery on her eyes because... Now, here's something interesting. Mom, throw you under the bus here. She developed some kind of a bubble or something in her eye and had a... she couldn't read anymore. She couldn't see the print.
Yeah.
And... within about 2 or 3 weeks, we all noticed a decline in her cognitive abilities. She was, and we began to worry because we thought, oh no, don't say this is the start, because she's absolutely intact. The only thing she doesn't do is drive. Everything else is intact. And so we began to worry. She went in and had surgery, and the next day she could see everything, and she's been fine since.
Yeah.
So just that single thing of not being able to read had this immediate decline. And he removed the bubble and she's reading and now she's doing fine. Back to her old self. Interesting.
So is it, these things are imperative to keep your brain healthy.
Man, stay active, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Mentally and physically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, all right. Okay. That is it for today then.
Get out there and do something.
Yes.
With your left hand, if you're right. Never mind.
Drive a right-sided car. There you go. If you're in England, drive a left-sided
car. I'm going to test drive that car. I'm going to go up and just test drive
it. Oh, it was so awesome. So, all right, until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid. Thanks for sharing this episode of the Mental Breakdown and PsychRidge podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to follow us on Twitter and subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you will find all of our previous podcasts and much more. We would be honored if you would become a patron through patreon.com, where any donation you can manage will go to the development and creation of more content. Just visit patreon.com/themental breakdown for more information. Thanks again for listening. Have an awesome day, and we look forward to being back in your feed tomorrow morning. Thank you.